when I was asked to do this, I had to think twice about this presentation today. When I was asked to limit myself to 20 to 25 minutes, I thought, oh, this is going to be different. Very different from me, because I'm used to going a bit longer than that. So I've had to modify it quite considerably today. But nevertheless, I've done something. And I've entitled today's sermonette, "No, Lord, Not Me," or "Not Me, Lord," for obvious reasons, which will come out in the second part of my presentation this morning. And today, when I was asked to do it, I thought, yes, this is very interesting. Because today I'm going to do this sermonette in two parts. First part from the Old Testament, and the second part, naturally, from the New. Being involved with Handel's Messiah for so many years, I straight away knew where to look for the verses that I wanted to present here this morning. And so, this morning, I would ask you, if you so desire, to open your Bibles to Isaiah, the chapter in Isaiah, chapter 53. And I am going to read from verses 1 to 8, 9 and 12. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. It is the start, it is the prediction of what's going to happen later on when we read from John. And my Bible reads this: "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. It says he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took upon our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed." Verse 6. "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own ways. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before the shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. Verse 8. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken." Now verse 9 reads this: "He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth." Now come to the latter half of verse 12. The latter half, in my Bible, reads this: "For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors." That's an interesting statement by Isaiah, the prophet. Let me read what my Bible says in the New International Version in the study part on some verses. By oppression, on verse 8 it reads this: by oppression and judgment, Jesus was given an unfair trial, his descendants. To die without children was considered a tragedy and a stigma in those days. Jesus had none. So the stigma was there. The manner of his death in verse 9. The manner of his death would indicate that as far as those who condemned him were concerned, he was not to be buried. He was to be buried with the executed criminals. But he wasn't. As we know later on, in John, we know that Joseph of Arimathea stepped forward and provided a burial plot for him. And it goes on. But the interesting side I want to look at this in this particular section is verse 6. Verse 6 is as relevant today as it was back then. Because it states, all we like sheep have gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own way. Now, we were talking about that in the Sabbath school lesson a bit this morning. Very hard to turn our own way. We turn our own way. Even as Adventists today, we turn in a situation where we sometimes don't stay on the path that we should. We sometimes go off. We turn our own way. But today, we've turned back into this church here today. Because the underlying fact is today, these words from his passage here in Isaiah lead to something far greater in the upper room later on, in John. I've chosen John's account this morning because that was the one I looked at, and I'll read something from there later on. But it's interesting to note that by oppression and judgment, he was taken away. He was taken away. He kept quiet. No matter what. Don't forget, this was predicted by Isaiah. It's interesting. So if we look at those particular verses, we read this, or I see into this. Verse 1 talks about salvation. Verse 2 talks about the tender shoot. Verse 3 talks about he was despised and rejected. Verse 4, he took on our infirmities. Verse 5, he was pierced and crushed in spirit. Verse 6, we have gone astray. Verse 7, he was oppressed but did not open his mouth. And by oppression, verse 8. Verse 9, he was to be assigned a grave for the wicked, but somebody stepped in. And then verse 12, for he bore the sins of many. He bore the sins of each and every one of us here today. For us, for you and myself, if we so choose. It's up to us. How we receive this and how we understand this, it's up to us. But it's interesting to note that all those years ago, well, my Bible hasn't got the year right, chapter 53 was written here, but I've got another Bible at home, will tell me when it was written, years before this happened. It's interesting. But the situation is here. Isaiah predicted what the second half of this service is going to be today. If we are concerned about our salvation, then we have to look at the second half of this service today. And the second half of this service today is found over in John. I have chosen this particular section because it fits in with what I want to say. It's an interesting point that in John chapter 13 we'll be looking from 13 from 13 chapter verse 1 right through to about chapter verse 17, with stopping in some of the sections. But before I start this, I want to read something this morning from 1 John 1:9. Now you all know it, you haven't got to look it up, I'll read it for you. And it says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's a statement that comes from John 13 in my Bible. Isn't that what this is all about? What this is about today is something like this. My Bible puts it as a heading chapter, Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Let me read something from John 13 on the opening part of my study Bible. John has by far the longest account of the upper room, though curiously he says nothing about the institution of the Lord's Supper. Still, we owe him most information about what the Lord said to his disciples on the night. One feature of the emphasis is on love. The word occurs only 6 times in chapters 1 to 12, but 31 times in chapters 13 to 17 of John. That's the notes in the Bible you've got at home, and the new King James Version. The word love is there. And so today, I want to read through this and then I want to summarise it quickly. And I will read from the Bible, from verse 13. Then I will go back over it and summarise a few high points. It was just before the Passover feast, verse 1. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all these things under his power, and that he had come from God, and he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Those words in my Bible are in red, indicating that Jesus said them. Verse 8. "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you have no part with me." Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands, my head as well." But Jesus answered, "A person who has a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Jesus speaking again, "Do you understand what I have just done for you?" he asked him. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master. No messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Interesting. I chose that particular passage because I came up on it when I had to do this. But it's interesting for the number of reasons. When we stop and we analyse this thing, yes, I'm watching the time. When we stop and analyse this thing, this particular passage, it can be divided, I can see, into about four or five sections. And the first section is this, that I have put down here. Verses 1 to 3 tell us that Jesus is in control of the situation. Verses 4 and 5 put it this way. Jesus steps in to wash the disciples' feet. Verses 6 to 9, Peter's descent. Verse 10, Jesus explains. Verse 11 puts it this way. Jesus knew not everyone was clean inside. Verse 12, Jesus does something. He returns to his place. Verses 17, Jesus explains what our role should be also in life. If I was asked to look at some of these text in greater detail, my first one would be this. Jesus is in total control of the situation. He knows what's going to happen. He knows things are not what they should be in that room that night. The room that night was probably full of doubt and misunderstanding and doubt of what was going to happen. Jesus was going to go away and leave them. But it's interesting because I can see an undercurrent in this room that night, and probably so can you. And so I'm going to ask my main question this morning, today, now. Are you today like Peter? And I say this with respect. No, Lord, not me. Are you slipping away in some way or means whereby you have put something in the place of Jesus that shouldn't be there? Is there a veil across him that you are not doing something right? We were talking about that in the lesson this morning. It's quite easy to see. Do I become indignant and say, "No, Lord, not me," when Jesus asks me to do something? Am I prepared to go all the way? What about that famous statement, "All the way with LBJ," that Harold Holt once said? You all remember that. Those in Australia, here. Are you prepared to do that for Jesus? Or are you willing to just sit by and see something happen? If the Lord came in here today and asked you that, would you be willing for him to wash your feet? My point is here, this. No, Peter says, you'll not do that. But the Lord says, you don't understand. Unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. This is an interesting position, because here we see custom where people were washing their feet before they'd gone out, they'd cleaned the rest of their bodies, and they come in and they washed their feet from the dirt roads and things like that. And today that was a symbol. But the second part I want to highlight this morning, before we return to the back room, is this. Are you willing to stoop to the lowness of what Jesus did as a servant and do unto others? Washing somebody's feet or doing something? Putting your pride apart, away, aside? To do something? Because if you're not, you have problems. My Bible says here in verse 9, my hands and my head, Peter's response to Jesus was wholehearted. But Peter was still dictating to Jesus. It says in my Bible, Peter was trying to dictate to Jesus what he wanted to do. Do we dictate to Jesus what he wants to do, what we want him to do for us? Or have we got an open heart? Is our heart open enough to accept what the Lord's will is for us? Do we want the Lord to be in us at all times? Two other thoughts come out in this little presentation this morning is this. No servant is greater than I. In other words, have you ever sat at a table in a restaurant somewhere, in a hotel maybe when you're travelling, and been waited on by a waiter and had the food taken away from the right side, put in on the right and taken away from the right side, and had someone wait on you and do those things and not have to get up from to do the dishes? Is there a situation in our lives today where we need to help someone? And today I can think of a few of our members here that are in a little bit of strife, and they need our help and our prayers, our example. No servant is greater than Jesus. Are you willing to step down to the lower level and say, look after someone that needs help? You'll be blessed if you do them. Our Lord wants us to be happy today. And in this service today, it's one thing to have a meal with one another, which we all do here sometimes. But to take this a step further and wash one another's feet is a sign that we are willing to accept Jesus as our Saviour. And to do this foot washing ceremony here today is something very, very special in my life, and I hope it is in yours. Where we can go out into our respective rooms and we can be one with our sisters and our brothers, and we communicate with the Lord through prayer and understanding and wash one another's feet. Because Jesus set the example. It says here in verse 12, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. What a simple act. No words probably said. No words were necessary. He had done the job that he was asked, that he wanted to do. He set the example. Jesus today is our example. How we live up to that example is up to us. If we are willing to follow Jesus' example, we will go out to that back room here this morning and be very, very willing to participate in this part of the particular service. But then we have to look beyond the service to what the following part of the service back in here in this church this morning is going to be. The breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine, what it symbolises. For then it comes back to what I read in Isaiah. That he was bruised. He was bruised. He went to trial. He was buried for our sins. But the interesting part, he rose on the Sunday morning and went back to heaven for our sins. This morning, as we separate into the back room now, I ask that we will go in there with open hearts and open thoughts as to the words that I have said and presented here this morning in John and Isaiah, and hopefully that we can be better for it. And so this morning I would just in summary like to close this with this word. In summary, can we be like Jesus more and more, willing to put ourselves into the situation to be humble and don't have pride of place? No servant is greater than his master. Jesus wants us to be humble, secure with him in the spiritual knowledge, and to show that we put others before us, no matter how menial the task should be. Can we go to the next part of this service that Jesus died for you and me, and what this message today from the scripture represents? What Jesus represents to you and me by this foot washing service today is something special to me, and I hope it is to you. Shall we bow our heads before we go out to the back room? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scripture from Isaiah and John this morning, and I pray that we will be blessed in that back room this morning as brothers and sisters at our separate locations. Help us to understand what the full meaning of this was, what you did for us in that upper room, or for the disciples in that upper room, by setting the example. Then, Lord, as you have commanded in Corinthians, I think it is, we will come back in here and we'll take the bread and the wine, which represents your body this morning, and we'll partake of that, that we might go out of this place today renewed in the hope and knowledge that Jesus, you are the first, the one and the only that we should follow, nobody else. And I pray, Lord, that we can live up to those standards. Sometimes, Lord, we have problems within our own hearts, but with your help, Lord, you tell us that whatever our problems are, bring them to Jesus, and you will look after them. Take us now into the back half of this service and bring us back here after. I ask these things in thy special name. Amen. Thank you.